Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Episode number 156 today, my friends. Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I am Rick Mulready. Really appreciate you for giving me your time today. Hope all is going well, whatever you're up to today, whether you're out walking the dog or on the treadmill, or maybe you're on your way to work. Hope you're having an awesome day. Today's episode is a Q&A show where I'm going to be going into a lot of different questions that I've been receiving here recently, but I first want to kind of give you an update on where things are at with me. I'm actually, when this episode is coming out, I'm actually in New Hampshire right now. I had to fly home to be with my mom. My mom kind of had to have a sort of an emergency surgery, and you know, I flew back to New Hampshire. The surgery was in Boston, and so I'm spending a little time with my mom here and making sure that she's okay. And really, really fortunate that I'm in a position to be able to do that, where I have the flexibility in my business to just kind of up and go. So that is what I'm doing. And then I'm going actually right from my time here in New Hampshire, not here in New Hampshire, because I'm actually recording this in San Diego before I go on my trip. But after my time in New Hampshire, I'm actually heading out to back to Montana to go fly fishing, which is a trip that has been planned for quite some time. If you guys have been listening to the show for any period of time, you know that I go up to Bozeman, Montana to go fly fishing three times a year. And this is my fall trip, and I am really, really excited about it. And my mom was actually very, very excited that I was going to be getting to go fly fishing after coming home to visit and make sure everything is okay there. So that's just kind of an update. I realize that I don't really share a ton about me and what I'm up to, just sort of in my personal life. And on the business side, we dive into Facebook ads and stuff and everything like that. But I do want to be sharing more with you. This has been sort of a tougher thing for me, so I really haven't talked a whole lot about it. But you know, my mom is having surgery. She's in very good hands. She's having surgery at one of the best hospitals in the country there in Boston. So you know, like I said, I'm really fortunate to be able to go back and be with her and make sure that she's going to be okay. And that is everything that we are expecting from the doctors and stuff like that. It really seems like things are going to be okay. But like I mentioned, I want to go back there and hang out with her and make sure that she's okay and see my sisters and stuff like that. So that is what I'm going to be doing when this episode comes out. And like I mentioned, then be heading to Montana to do some fly fishing and enjoy some fall weather, which we did not get here in San Diego. So anyway, that is the latest update on me. Like I mentioned, I hope all is going really, really well for you in your world. Now, let's talk about about today's episode, shall we? This is a Q&A episode. This is actually going to be part one because I've gotten a lot of questions recently and I love getting questions from you all. So I'm going to take the next couple of episodes, maybe not the next episode, maybe episode after that. I haven't honestly fully decided yet, but today anyway, we're going to dive into lots of different questions. And so I want to kind of give you an overview right now of what we're going to be talking about here. So we're going to talk about hiring a Facebook ads manager. Who should be doing this and who maybe should not be considering it right now? And also what to look for when hiring a Facebook ads manager. We're going to talk about a little bit about where to place the Facebook ads pixel and retargeting audiences. We are going to dive into, is it okay to make changes to ad sets while they're running? What does the estimated daily reach mean? You know, right, when you're setting up your ad set, Facebook gives you a number over on the right hand side there, along with your potential audience audience size, that is called the estimated daily reach. So what does that mean? And where is Facebook getting that data? We're going to talk a bit about e-commerce strategy today, e-commerce funnel strategy. And actually, e-commerce, by the way, is something that came up in a lot of people's feedback. I've been asking, and I'm going to mention this again at the end of the episode here, but I've been asking for your feedback to message me over on Facebook Messenger. And e-commerce was something, a topic that came up from a lot of people. So we're going to be talking more about e-commerce here on the podcast. I have heard you loud and clear, and I'm really excited to bring you more on that topic in addition to what we're going to be talking about here today. Also, we're going to be talking about how do you get people to actually walk into your local business once they've redeemed your coupon offer. So if you are a local business, or if you're running ads for a local business and the offer is, you know, sort of some sort of a coupon offer to get them in, okay, great. We can get them to take that offer, but how do we actually get them to walk into the business? You know, that's not an easy thing to do. So we're going to kind of, I'm going to kind of brainstorm some ideas and things that, that I've seen work quite well when we talk about that. So let's dive right into the first question. And the first question comes from Karen Taggart. Karen, how are you? It's great to get this question from you. I'd love to learn more about what to look for when hiring a Facebook ads expert. This is such a great question. And I like to look at a number of different factors. Okay. So number one, is the expert, quote unquote expert, I hate that word really, is the Facebook ads manager that that you're looking at, were they referred to you? That's the first thing I would do. Did somebody that you trust, and a reputable person that you do trust and maybe have a relationship with in some facet, was it a recommendation to that Facebook ads manager? So how did you find out about that Facebook ads manager? That's kind of the first thing that I would look at, you know, because recommendations from people that you trust are obviously going to be much better than just a cold outreach if you find somebody on, you know, Upwork or something like that. But if you do ask somebody, well, actually I should say this, either way, if you get connected with somebody, whether it's through a recommendation or you reach out to them and you set up a time to talk, then I would be asking them a number of different questions, okay? And I'm going to kind of give you like a little checklist here that I'm actually going to put this checklist over on the show notes page, okay? So if you want to download this checklist here, just go to rickmulready.com/156, okay? So the first question I'd be asking outside of, you know, how did you find out about this person? Was it a recommendation or just a cold outreach? Is you want to know how long they've been managing Facebook ads, right? I recommend working with someone with at least a year of experience, preferably more, but a year is good if they've been doing it for a solid year. You want to know how long they've been managing Facebook ads, okay? And then I also recommend, do they specialize in a specific niche for Facebook ads? Because, you know, if someone is specializing in all different types of niches, that's not a bad thing. In which case, are they running ads within your specific niche? Okay. So if they are, then you want to learn more about what types of campaigns they typically run. Do they run, you know, conversion type of campaigns, branding campaigns, you know, traffic, retargeting? What types of campaigns are they typically running? Do they specialize in one type of campaign, or are they really well-rounded in, you know, the customer journey and leveraging Facebook ads to take people through the customer journey? So maybe starting at the top of the funnel with more of a branding type of Facebook ad camp or Facebook ads, and then moving people through using engagement and conversion and so forth. So getting a sense of what types of campaigns do they typically run, okay? Then I want to know, what types of strategies do they typically use for Facebook ads? You know, for example, are they open to running Facebook ads to content first and then retargeting those visitors? Or maybe, you know, are they into, do they like to use Facebook video ads and then retarget people based on how long they're watching the video? Try to get a sense of the types of strategies that they use for the specific niche that you are in. Okay. Also, how much are you spending per month in ad cost per client on average? So you want to get a sense of what kind of budget that they are, that they're managing. Okay. So how much are they spending per month in ad cost per month, per client? And then what is the average sort of overall, what are they averaging or what are they managing on a monthly basis as far as, revenue? Okay. And then, a couple other things that you want to look at, a sample of ads that they have created or run for other clients. You know, I think it's always a good idea to see other examples of stuff that they have run. And if they don't want to share this stuff with you, this is a red flag, by the way. I still have more, you know, part of the checklist here, but if they don't want to share any of the stuff with you, I would say that's a red flag. You know, if someone is, as a Facebook ads manager, that person should be very open and willing to be sharing this type of information with a potential client, you know, to see if it's a right fit. Okay. Because as a Facebook ads manager, it really should be not only the person interviewing you as the Facebook ads manager, but also you as the Facebook ads manager interviewing the person to see if it, you want to see if it's a mutual fit, right? Okay, sample of ads. And then also, you know, try to get an idea of what was the most successful ad campaign that they've managed in your niche. Like, what made it successful? Do they think that that type of success is replicable? You know, can they do it? Do they think they could do it again? And if so, why do they think so? And if not, why do they think so as well? This kind of gives you an idea of how they view the Facebook ads platform and the changing Facebook ads platform of what's working, what's not working, and that sort of thing. Let's see here. Another question that you might want to know is that person themselves managing the Facebook ads themselves, or is there an associate on the team, somebody on the team managing the Facebook ads? If somebody on their team is managing the Facebook ads, that's totally fine, but you might want to get an idea of how much that person that you've been referred to or that you're talking to at that point is actually involved in the ad campaigns. Okay. Another nice to have is to ask that person if they have a Facebook ads rep. This is certainly not a deciding factor at all, but if they do, total bonus, because that person has, you know, sort of an inside track with Facebook and they can reach out to that ads rep if they have any questions or issues or anything like that. The final thing that I would be looking at is to ask them for maybe 2 to 3 names of current or past clients that they've worked with, so that you can reach out to them and speak to those people about their experience working with that Facebook ads manager. So again, here, you know, there might be some confidentiality things that you might run into, but as an ads manager, they should be willing to give out at least a couple of current or past clients to speak to. Again, you might run into some privacy things there, which is totally understandable, but the idea here is to speak to their current or past client and kind of get the experience, what it was like for them to work with that Facebook ads manager. Okay, then we kind of move into, and I'm spending a lot on this one question here, but that's totally cool. This is a great question, and I'm actually getting this question more and more right now. So, sources for finding qualified Facebook ads managers. Where do you look? Well, if you know people who you respect, and you know, maybe they have worked with a Facebook ads manager, or maybe they are a Facebook ads manager themselves. Perfect. Otherwise, you're looking for recommendations at that point. Okay, you know, using a Facebook group if you're in a Facebook group with other entrepreneurs, maybe, and that you respect and that you have a good relationship with, maybe asking them for other referrals from there. So those are a couple. I mean, always try to do word of mouth. Always try to do word of mouth, whenever possible. Try to get that recommendation, right? So, like I mentioned, there's other Facebook groups that you can look at. I have a Facebook ads program for ad managers. So we have an entire army of people in there as well. And then also you've got sites like Upwork and that sort of thing. And so that's getting more into, the cold outreach. If you're looking for somebody, to speak to, you're not coming from a place of recommendation at that point. But like I mentioned, lots of different things that you can be asking, that Facebook ads manager. And this is something that I definitely, if you are interested in hiring a Facebook ads manager, this is something I definitely recommend that you follow, these questions here on this checklist. And again, I'll make sure that you can download it over on the show notes page for today's episode. Okay, what is the next question here? From Tracy Dixon. Hey, Tracy, should beginners hire help from an ad firm? So basically, should a beginner hire somebody to help them with their Facebook ads? And my answer to this is no. I don't think that someone who's just starting out with Facebook ads or starting out in their business should hire somebody from the get-go to manage their Facebook ads. And here is the reason. Number one, this is the biggest reason, is that you need to have an understanding of Facebook ads. If you're going to hire somebody out, you've got to have an understanding yourself of Facebook ads. And what I like to say, enough to make yourself dangerous, right? I have countless stories, and I literally just got another Facebook message from somebody today saying this happened to them again, where they didn't understand enough about Facebook ads. They hired somebody out. That person was not getting them any results and charging them a lot of money. They, this person lost a bunch of money in the process with no results, and they weren't able to, they weren't able to check the work that this person was doing because they didn't know enough about Facebook ads themselves to check. So if you're going to outsource Facebook ads, definitely educate yourself as much as possible at first. Okay. And that means educating yourself, testing it out yourself, getting in there, running some ads yourself. I know that as business owners, we're all super, super busy, but this is one of the best things that you can do, because this, I talk about this all the time. Facebook ads is the best platform, hands down right now, the most effective and cost efficient way to gain exposure for your business and to grow your business, hands down. Right. So why wouldn't you want to, make a little effort there and spend some time and energy to at least learn, again, enough to make yourself dangerous, so that if your goal is to outsource Facebook ads, okay, great, but have that as your goal. Don't start off there if you know nothing about Facebook ads. I've had countless stories. I've had tons and tons of students come into my programs who this has happened to, unfortunately, and then they end up learning Facebook ads and running them. I've had actually a lot of students come in and start running their Facebook ads, and they do extremely well, and they actually don't end up outsourcing because they really get into it and they're getting such good results that they don't want to give that up. And I've had the other students come in and just learn it, get some great results, and say, okay, cool, I know it, now I want to outsource it. So Tracy, that is my answer for should beginners hire help from an ad firm. Okay, the next question is from Heike. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Heike, if I'm not pronouncing it right, I apologize. Heike Friedrich. And the question here is, when I put event code on my opt-in and my thank you page, do I need separate events, or can I use the same code for these pages when I later want to target these different audiences? Okay, so Heike, the question here, I think what I'm kind of getting from this is, if you've got an opt-in page and a thank you page, it's the same Facebook pixel. It's just one Facebook pixel. You have one Facebook pixel for your account. So that pixel goes on the opt-in page and the thank you page, right? And then you're going to have to track the conversion on the thank you page. And you can do that two different ways. One of them is a custom conversion. So you can track it with a custom conversion, or you can use a standard event. And so either one of those work. Custom conversion is much easier to work with. So that way you have the pixel code on the opt-in page and on the thank you page. And now you're tracking the conversion when somebody actually lands on your thank you page. Okay. What I would also be doing here is creating an audience of the people for your opt-in page and an audience of your thank you page. That way, as you say, when you later want to target these different audiences, then later, once you've built up an audience for people coming to your opt-in page and people coming to your thank you page, you can now target the audience of your opt-in page and exclude the people who are coming to your thank you page. So you could exclude the thank you page audience. And so that's how you retarget people that's one way to retarget people. There's a few different ways you can do it. This is sort of the most straightforward way. Or you can actually create one audience of people who land on the opt-in page and exclude the people from the thank you page. So you can do it two different ways. You can create separate audiences or you can create one audience. But they both accomplish the same thing. So that, as you put, when you later want to target these different audiences, now you can target people who land on your opt-in page but don't actually opt in. And we have to remember, just because somebody lands on your opt-in page and they don't opt in doesn't mean they weren't interested. You know, we all have a million things going on. Maybe the phone rang, or I'm looking at about 20 tabs open on my computer. This is actually pretty good right now. And so our pages get lost in all of our tabs. So maybe we, you know, go to another tab and we forget that we had that page open, or the doorbell rings, or, you know, the baby's crying, whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone who wasn't interested in whatever your offer was. So I love that you're thinking, Heike, about retargeting people who come to your opt-in page but don't actually opt in. All right, next question comes from Shelly Griever. Shelly says, how do you track the changes that you do in an ad set? For example, increase a bid or change in the bidding strategy. Do you do the changes in the same ad set, or do you open up a new ad set? So Shelly, this is such a great question, one that comes up quite a bit. So guys, if you are running an ad set, if you're running a campaign and you've got your ad set, let's just keep it very simple. You've got one ad set in your campaign and it's running, and you want to make some changes to it, right? So you want to increase the bid, or if you want to change how the ad set is being optimized. Okay, let's deal with the first thing. If you want to increase the bid within your ad set, that's okay. You don't have to stop it and duplicate it or anything like that. You can change your budget, your daily budget, without making any kind of change to, without making any other changes, I should say. Just remember that you want to increase the daily budget by no more than 25 to 30% of that daily budget. So let's just say you're running $10 a day. Don't go above, say, $12.50 or $13 total, meaning increasing it $2.50 or $3, and then waiting a couple more days for the algorithm to do its thing. Now, if you are bidding on things, if you're bidding on stuff, then that way you can make a change if you're manually bidding like that, right? You can do that. But if you, and without making any other kind of changes, but if you are changing the bidding strategy, meaning if you're changing like the optimization, then you do need to, what I recommend doing is stopping that ad set, right? And then duplicating and then starting a new ad set with that new optimization that you have chosen. Because when the ad set starts, when the campaign starts, the Facebook algorithm is saying, okay, it's taking all the things that all the parameters that you have set up, and it's the algorithm is setting you up based on what the information that you have told it from the beginning. So if you make a big change, like how you want the ad set or the ad to be optimized, then you need to start a new ad set, a fresh ad set. So you'd stop the existing one and then start a new one. Okay. Good question there, Shelly. Bree Noble says, hey Bree, I've been seeing some new metrics on the right sidebar when doing targeting in Ads Manager. It tells you the reach and then video views or click depending on the type of ad that you're doing. It's got a range, and that range seems arbitrary. It's never the same as the number that you are targeting. For example, I'm running a video ad and I see a reach of 600 to 2,400 of 2.5 million video views, 540 to 2,100 of 180,000. But my target audience is 2.8 million. I was running a retargeting ad today and my audience was really small, 180 people. It told me that if I spent $20, I would get 38 clicks. But if I spent $30, I'd get 51 clicks. Where are these numbers coming from? Especially in a small audience retargeting situation, it can't possibly predict click numbers. Anyway, just wondering how to interpret these new metrics. Sorry for the length and complexity of the question. No, this is a great question, Bree. So basically what you're talking about here is the estimated daily results, which show up in the right-hand column when you are putting your ad set together. So once you put your audience parameters in there, what you want to target, the budget and so forth, it's going to give you a potential reach, right, for the audience number. Then it's going to give you the estimated daily results, okay? And that's what you're talking about here. That's what the numbers that you're talking about. So for example, between 1,200 and 7,100 of 2.8 million, right? That's your reach. Well, if your objective is conversions, it will also give you an estimated result of the number of conversions per day as well. Okay. And what they're basically doing is they're giving you these numbers based on factors like bid and budget. So budget meaning like my daily budget is $20 a day and I'm optimizing for, I almost said Whole Foods. I don't know. I was thinking about Whole Foods for some reason. I want to let Facebook optimize my campaign automatically. Then Facebook is looking at those numbers there, the factors like bid and budget, and that's where it's coming up with these estimated daily results. So these are not arbitrary. I mean, they are estimates, but they're not like sort of random numbers that Facebook is just sort of picking out of left field. It's based on the audience size that you're targeting, who you're targeting, you know, that audience, the audience that you've set up, the daily budget, and then also the bid on how, because remember, we have to remember that Facebook is an auction, right? It's an auction platform, okay? So those are not arbitrary numbers. Those are actual estimated numbers based on bid and budget that Facebook is taking from the information that you have given it, okay? Really good question there, Bree. Okay, Yuri Weinberger says, for e-com or apparel businesses, how many touch point layers are recommended in a funneling strategy? For example, drive traffic via video, retargeting based on web visitors, and retargeting via video viewers. That would be considered three different touch points. What's the best practice? Well, Yuri, this is a great question, but if you've been listening for any period of time, I'm going to tell you that this is just about testing, right? This is about testing different types of strategies to see which one works the best for you. But if you're looking for a best practice, it really depends on the audience that you are targeting. Is this a cold audience or is this a warmer audience, right? So if this is a warmer audience, if you're targeting people who have retargeting people who have already come to your website, or maybe they've gone to the add to cart, they've added it to cart, but they didn't complete the purchase. Well, that sales funnel is going to look very different than if you're targeting a completely cold traffic, right? So completely cold traffic, like you just mentioned here, drive traffic via video, retargeting based on web visitors and video viewers, etc. So I would look at that strategy for cold audiences, people that don't necessarily know who you are, more of an awareness type of play where you are using a video. Maybe you're doing video views or maybe you're doing engagement based on you just want people to watch that video. Then you can turn around and retarget people based on how long they're watching your video. If they're watching your video for, say, let's just say less than 50%, they probably need some more warming up, or they weren't really resonating with your with the video. So in that case there, then you're probably going to want to get them more content to move them further along your sales funnel. If they're watching more than 50% of that video, they're probably prime for a follow-up offer. Maybe it's a discount code for the, you know, for the apparel that you're selling, or some sort of offer at that point that you can turn around and retarget them with. Okay. But it really depends on the type of audience that you are, that you're targeting. And as far as objectives go, this is really about testing different ones, you know, playing around with video views or, engagement and traffic and conversion and trying different ones. It also depends on how, you know, what the price point is for, you know, the apparel. I mean, if this is a $19 t-shirt or something like that, that's going to be very different than a, you know, a $500 suit or a $1,000 suit or something like that. So there's lots of different ways here, but that's how I would be thinking about it. What am I, you know, as far as a, what is the customer journey? What do I need to do to take somebody who doesn't necessarily know my brand, know my apparel, know my business, all the way through to becoming a paying customer, right? And so then we can use the different touch points along the way to leverage retargeting to move them further along our sales funnel. And you brought up video here. I love the idea of a video right off the bat. And then, you know, using that to drive traffic, but also to gain awareness and then building those engagement audiences and retargeting those people, again, to move people further along your sales funnel into becoming a paying customer. Now, if somebody's landing on your add to cart page, right? If they get to the add to cart, but they don't purchase, that's, you know, that's going to be a different type of retargeting. You're just trying to move them from the add to cart right into becoming a paying customer. So you might want to follow up with them, like, you know, a little nudge, or maybe it's a coupon offer or something like that, a discount code, something like that to make them, to help them get over to become a paying customer. Okay. One more question here. And that is from Brent Peluso. My good friend, Brent. How are you, Brent? He says, what is the best way to get people to come in the door and actually use a 2-for-1 coupon that they opted in for? This is such a great question. And there's really, like, this is a tough one because, you know, as Facebook advertisers or if we're advertising our business on Facebook here, and we have a local business and we're trying to, you know, we have our offer as a 2-for-1 coupon, for example, and people are opting in for it, and we're building our email list. Okay, that's great, but that's only one step in the process, right? What we're really going for is to actually get them to walk into our store or our restaurant or our business or whatever it is. So there's a few different things that I would try for that. Number one is if they're opting in for it, you're building your email list, right? So that at that point, you want to be following up with them via email since they're now on your email list, and you could use email marketing to, again, further push. You know, I don't want to say push because I don't mean that in a negative. I certainly don't mean that in a negative connotation, to move them further along your sales funnel, if you will, to get them to come into your store. It also depends on what kind of information that you're asking for when they're opting in. Are you asking them for a phone number in addition to their email? If you're asking for their phone number, you know, are you asking for it from the perspective of, you know, are you able to give them a phone call, or is it more of like a text messaging thing? If it's a phone number, you know, you could give them a call, you know, and introduce yourself and start to build a relationship that way and invite them into the business to take advantage of that coupon. Or, you know, you could wait a little bit and say, hey, I noticed you downloaded the 2-for-1 coupon, but we haven't seen you in. And then, you know, you could make another offer to them or just, you know, introduce yourself, that sort of thing. You can also use text message reminders if you have asked for a phone number. So you could do text message reminding. Don't get obnoxious with a text message reminding, but, you know, use it sensibly and with integrity, and you could offer reminders that way. Okay. But this is really one of those things. Like, I was talking to somebody recently where they were offering some sort of coupon to come into their business, but there was no opt-in. They just gave the coupon away, and they were upset that no one, like, you know, a very small percentage was actually coming in to take advantage of that coupon. So I would be asking for that email address in this case here, so you can follow up. And then again, if you're asking for additional information, like a phone number, for example, maybe, you know, picking the phone up and giving them a call or doing a text message reminder, as long as you have permission to do that. And I would be testing those strategies out to get people to, you know, once they have opted in for that coupon, to actually get them into the business. Okay. All right. That is the end. That's as far as I'm going to go today in this Q&A episode. Like I mentioned, I have a lot more questions that I'm going to cover in another Q&A episode, which will be coming up very, very soon. So I do hope this was really helpful for you. And as I've been mentioning the past few episodes here, if you'd like to win a 30-minute strategy call with me, I'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is go over to Facebook Messenger and give me your feedback on the podcast here. And specifically, I'd like to hear what you'd like to hear more of. Things like topics, guests, style of the show, frequency, length. Any ideas that you'd like to share with me, I'd definitely love to hear them from you. So to share your ideas and feedback, you could message me over on Facebook. And I've set up a very simple link for you, rickmulready.com/messenger. Shoot me a message over there with your ideas and feedback. And I'm going to pick one person at random at the end of each month to win a 30-minute strategy call with me. We can talk about whatever you'd like, Facebook ad strategy, growing your business, online marketing strategy, whatever it is, we'll talk about it during that call. And then we'll have that call here on the podcast as a strategy sessions episode, on a future episode here on the show. So again, it's an easy link, rickmulready.com/messenger. Shoot me a message over there with your feedback on the show, and I'll be picking a winner at random to win a 30-minute strategy call with me. So thank you so very much in advance for doing that. Really looking forward to interacting with you over on Messenger. I'm spending a lot of time on Messenger right now talking with all of you because the feedback has been awesome. So thank you again for doing that. That is all for today's episode, my friends. I've got a lot more coming your way here on the podcast. So until then, as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.